Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
If you can give me about 10 minutes, I just want to just give you a couple things that are on my heart. I'm not going to preach what I preached at the 9 a.m. You can go back and watch. We finished up our 16-week series. We are done. Done with Kingdom Culture Series. Hopefully that you got it into where it starts to develop into your life as your life becomes more and more embodied into the person of Jesus, that you don't live your life as a Canadian Christian, you live your life as a Kingdom Christian. Something that's been on my heart a lot this week is this challenge that we face in North American Christianity, that we're in combat constantly with the culture and with what the culture says goes, especially in the church. And it's something that's been brewing in my heart where I'm just kind of getting this holy agitation. It's because when I read the Bible and I read the life of Paul and Peter and I read about these apostles and these people that planted churches, and Paul wrote, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have pearls with my family and friends and my countrymen and my enemies. And Paul writes these apostolic descriptions about what the life of a true apostle embodies. And I look at North American Christianity, and friend, I don't know about you, pray for me. I just get frustrated. I get just grieved. Because I don't think Jesus died for us to have a good Sunday morning experience. I think he died so that we can live a kingdom lifestyle, a more excellent way, the narrow road, which I promise you, it sounds hard. And it is hard to the flesh, but when you walk down that road, you embrace a life. And that's what Jesus talked about, life more abundantly. I'm going to ask you this question. What would your life look like if you had no fear of man whatsoever in it? What would our life look like? I think one of the challenges that grips the church is that we care far too much what people around us think instead of what the Father thinks. And it's a sign of the lack of beloved identity. I was having a conversation with a friend one day. He's right in the middle of writing a book of how your authority in the next life. You remember Jesus said, I'm going to give you what you steward in this life. If you steward it well, you'll be made a ruler over 10 cities and 8 cities. And there's certain principles how in stewardship in this life grants you authority in the next life and what you're going to be given a responsibility over. And he's writing a book all about how the degree of resurrection that you walk in this life will determine what the next life and the authority that you have. I was thinking about that, and I want to take it to the next level, because I don't believe we can walk to the degree of resurrection that we're intended to without the degree of beloved identity that he wants us to walk in. Your revelation of beloved identity determines your experience in resurrection in this life. You remember Jesus? He was called beloved of the Father. And as he grew in that understanding of his revelation of beloved identity, there was a point in his life where he was completely transfigured, resurrected before he died and resurrected. Anyways, I don't know, this is how my mind's going right now. Are you with me? It's okay? Okay. And it just is, it's gripping me, and it's a good agitation, because agitation for me drives me to the secret place. It doesn't cause me to like backtrack. Agitation in me has always been a good thing. It might not be so good for everybody that I talk to every week, but for me, it's a great thing because it drives me into the secret place. And at the end of the day, it caused me to be a little bit more confrontational, but that's a good thing too, because I want to challenge you to be better than you are. Not 7 steps to better living and better lifestyles and better management of your money and time. No. I want to challenge you to be better who you've been called to be, to walk in the degree of resurrection that Christ died for you to walk in. And that cannot happen without a revelation of beloved identity. Beloved identity meaning that the Father loves you, affirms you, is for you, and when you have that revelation, it doesn't matter what anybody else around you thinks. You can be who God created you to be. And when you step into being who God created you to be, you shake yourself loose from North American Christianity. and you embrace the fullness of the kingdom. The fullness of the kingdom, the narrow road, Holy Spirit, living your life, conquered, crucified, right? All these things that take place instead of just trying to have a good church service. And I know those that God has called me to pastor, the ones that God has called my voice to do something to their inner man, that's why you're here. That's why you're here. Jesus talks often about how sheep know a shepherd's voice. Ultimately, he's talking about himself. I don't stand in the place of the good shepherd. That's not what that's saying. But there is a principle where there's something through a sound in someone's voice, a sound of hunger, a sound of maturity, that causes something in you to awaken and say, I've got to have what he's talking about. I was born for more. I was born for so much more. And there's been people in my life that when I hear them communicate like that, it awakens. This is how I tell people, how you know where you're supposed to be is who awakens what's on the inside of you when they talk. That's how you know you're aligned where you're supposed to be, when your heart comes alive. You may not agree with everything. It may be uncomfortable. It may cut on you, but something in it feels soothing at the same time, where I know I'm called to be more than I'm walking in now. And that's what I want to do to you in the beginning days of 2020, is kind of take that knife and cut on you a little bit more and say, you know what? There's something greater that the Father has for us. There's something greater. He's calling us into something deeper, something better. There's a more excellent way, and it's called the kingdom. It's called the kingdom. What do I mean by the kingdom? It's not a place that you go to when you die. It's a reality that you live in right here in this life. I'm not waiting to get to heaven. I'm in it. It's a smaller portion of it, and I'm believing for a greater portion of it as God's cutting some things away. But Jesus said this, pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. This life. Jesus would never tell you to pray for something and tease you. He tells you to pray for it because he knows you can have it. He says, pray for it because there's an opportunity, there's an extension and of grace that's coming from heaven that I'll give you this realm of the kingdom, and you don't have to wait till you die to have it. Actually, you do have to die to have it. It's just a different kind of death. It's a death to self. It's a crucifixion of me. I believe the greatest enemy that we're facing in the church is not any persecution. It's me. It's you. It's the inner me. And I want to be delivered from me. I want to be delivered from you. Seriously. I mean that in a negative way. I want to be delivered from anything that holds me back from pleasing the Father first. Me, you, us, all of it. Jesus, we want to go where you want to take us. So I've been thinking about this because years ago, one of my spiritual fathers, I was thinking about this a lot this week. One of my spiritual fathers told me that I have an apostolic grace on my life. I didn't know what that meant at the time. And I just said, okay. And he decided to ordain me as that years ago, back in, I don't remember, 2010. And didn't really even understand it. And honestly, I didn't really like it. I still don't like it. Because I read something different in the Bible. And I know that there's a grace, a church planting grace and all that stuff, which is apostolic in nature. But something hit me this week, and it was the fear of the Lord, actually. It was just the fear of the Lord. And I've been preaching about how so many things get watered down in the church, and the Lord at the same time is like, you can't preach it. You've got to live that. You've got to live that. And so one of the things that he was challenging me is this ideology of fivefold giftings that we label people with today that looks so different from what they were in the early church. And for me, I've been labeled as this at times, guy that has an apostolic grace, and it's always made me uncomfortable, and it still does, and I still don't like it, and the Lord's putting his finger on that even this week, saying, you know what? Don't ever water something down. And I look at what we've done in my life, and it's so watered down compared to the Apostle Paul. Like, I don't want that title if my life doesn't look like the Apostle Paul's, because that's the standard. I don't want the title prophet if my life doesn't look like the prophets of the early church, where they actually prophesied. They didn't do divination like we see today. like, I mean, real prophetic unction, where Samuel encounters Saul and tells Saul, when you leave my house, don't worry about your father's donkeys, they're found. And when you come to a mountain, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you because you're going to encounter some prophets. And he prophesies exactly what's getting ready to happen. Not word of knowledge, that's prophecy, that's prophetic unction. And I think there has to be, as we're journeying down, especially at the turn of a new season, and we're asking God for more, you can't ask God for more without allowing him to put demand on the revelation that you have about a certain subject and say, if you're going to ask me for more, we need to shift your thinking about what you're walking in. Because you can't ask for more and stay current in the limitation that you're in. It'll limit you. Saying, God, give me more, but you still have a very shallow understanding of apostolic ministry or prophetic ministry or what the church is supposed to look like. Is this okay? And so I've been saying, God, teach me. And one of the things that I felt like the Lord told me to say is, don't let anybody call you that anymore. Don't let anybody call you that anymore. Because what you do, if you're wanting to bring people into a more excellent way, wait till I affirm. And when I affirm, it'll be because of it's a life that's conquered and free from every bit of ambition. And you know, we need that. You with me? This is not a sermon. This is talking. This is rambling. This is rambling from the Spirit. So what that's going to give you permission to do is not be title driven, waiting on your moment to arrive, and your validation comes from any title in a church. When I can, as a senior leader, say, you know what? I want to be stripped of every bit of title that man puts on me. The only title I want is what God calls me. And you know what that is? Son. Son, that's it. What that gives people around me permission to do is say, you know what, let me get off the track that I've been on looking for validation through a title, and let me get back on the sonship and daughter path of the kingdom path of just being validated by what he calls me, and he loves me the way he created me, not by a title that man could give me that's completely watered down anyways and anti what the early church walked in. If we're going to be honest and be real, let's walk in sonship and walk the kingdom way. Then he gives us a grace to actually get back to early church principles and actually do the stuff. And I want to do this stuff. I don't want to have a name that I'm alive, but inside dead men's bones. You know? I don't want the Summit to have a name that it's alive, but inside, not alive at all. And you want to know what stifles life? Getting off the path of beloved identity, the kingdom path, and looking for that validation from everyone else. So 2020, for the Mathis house, can't speak for Nikki, I can just speak for myself. For me, 2020 is going to be a year of plumb line, of walking the narrow path that I know is the sweet spot to victorious and abundant living. You know what? It's uncomfortable. Hurts. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking in that passage of scripture about the heaven on earth. And it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to walk in the narrow road of heaven on earth. You know how I know he's not talking about salvation? Because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. It's free. Meaning you can't work for eternal life, but the kingdom, buddy, you better believe it, you have to work for it. And it's hard. Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom realm, speaking of this life, life on earth. And you know, we read that and we think, well, I'm not rich, you know, I'm just middle class, maybe upper middle class, you know? But I wanna tell you, according to that scripture and that verse, and according to the world, you are very rich. Very rich. If you make more than $6 an hour, you're in the top 99% of the world rich. Most people in this room are top 0.5 rich compared to the rest of the world. And you know what that means? That means it's hard for you. It's hard for you and hard for me to enter into the realm of the kingdom and walk in heaven on earth because we have more distractions than everybody else in the world has. And that's what Jesus said to the poor young slave. Your Bible calls him the rich young ruler. Jesus tells the poor young slave, why? He's a slave to his possessions. Jesus tells this man, walk away from all that and follow me. He went away sad because he had so many things and so many possessions. Jesus then, he didn't stay around to hear the end result. Jesus turns to Peter, says, Lord, we've left it all for you. And Jesus says, you know what? Nobody that's left it all for me and went down this narrow road and this narrow path will go without because I'm going to restore it in this life and in the life to come. Jesus wants to restore seven times what many of us walk in, but he hasn't done it yet because we've not in our heart been willing to say, I let go of it all. Seven times. He wants to bless us seven times, sevenfold. He wants to give us, but he does not want you to be a slave to it. Why? Because it keeps us bound and shackled up from entering into the kingdom realm, the narrow road of heaven on earth. Friend, it's hard for us. But you know what? There's grace. His disciples looked at him and said, who in the world is going to be able to do this then? Jesus looked back and said, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You know what he's saying there? With God, there's a grace. With God, there's something supernatural that causes your appetite to let go of the things of the world and pursue the things of the kingdom. With God, you can say no to that and yes to him. And I'm telling you, that's what we're after. That's what we're after this year. That's what we're after. And you know, if you're not after it, that's okay. Hang around, get in this atmosphere long enough, something's going to awaken in you. Something's going to awaken. I believe it. Amen. Identity comes from the Father, not from man. It's not title. It's not ordination. It's not apostle, prophet, pastor, deacon, evangelist, bishop, elder, door greeter, children's worker, camera volunteer, right? Identity is son, daughter. And you know what? If he calls you son and daughter, welcome. I got a secret for you. You ready for it? Welcome to the full-time ministry. Welcome to it. This idea of secular and sacred, this idea of church leaders and everybody else, laity, it's Catholicism. And the whole thing was to cripple people from becoming sons and walking in Mark 16, these signs follow those that believe. It didn't say these signs follow those that lead. We can't hardly get leaders in the Church of North America to do the signs yet. But Jesus has that expectation on believers to step into a revelation of who they are in God, that these signs follow those that believe. This line we're tearing down of secular, sacred, of clergy, laity. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are saved, I don't care if you're a bishop or a barber, welcome to the full-time ministry. It's just what it is. It's what it is. Whether you're a barber and you cut hair or you're a nurse and you're at work, you have an obligation by the Spirit of the Lord to walk in the supernatural grace and power of God and release that everywhere. And you don't have to ever be up here to do it. Ever. And let's tear that thing down. Because I know that it'll stifle and limit where the Father wants to take this house. And we're going to start with me. Don't call me apostle anymore. Thank you. Amen. You know, until when I can lay hands on the sick and dead bodies and they raise, you can call me whatever you want to at that point. But until then, you know, even then, I tear that thing down. Who's ready for 2020? Who's going to commit to being here as much as they can to pray with us? Thank you guys. Thank you guys. You know, man, if you can try to really, I didn't make it mandatory for our staff and leaders, but be there. you're gonna want to, I'm telling you, especially Fridays. Let's receive an offering this morning. I did. Yep. Let's receive an offering. This is our last offering of the year. And I just want to say this. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity this year. You know, we've been able to give away close to $250,000 to other ministries and people in need this year. You know that? Close. We didn't hit that 250, but we're close. We've given away close to $250,000 this year as a church to other ministries as the Lord's directed us and those in need. And I got to tell you, this is a generous, 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 generous body. And thank you for that. I serve on the board of every Summit campus and I see their finances. And this is by far the most generous body that we have in all of our Summit locations, in our benevolence offerings, in our generosity as we give and sow. And, you know, as we as a church board, every year, we're about to sit down and do it again in January. We set some real big goals for the year of what we want to give and bless people with and what we want to do and what we want to save. And in a couple weeks, we're going to be doing that again. And I'm believing to do double in 2020. I believe we can give away $500,000. I believe it to people in need and to charities and things that God has given us resource to be a blessing and help other people with. You know, people in this church, numerous people in this church that have lost jobs or had hardships, we've been able to bless and sow money into at times without them even asking for it. And that's because of your faithfulness and your generosity. 2020, we're going to be talking about what's happening next year. We've got some plans to plant some churches. Because how many of you know Jesus wants us to multiply what we've been given? And we are stacked with quality leaders. And I don't believe in keeping you forever. All of our leaders get nervous when I say that because nobody wants to go. But seriously, like, we Nikki and I learned this early on. We watched one of our spiritual fathers tell his right-hand man one day, he said, "You've been here too long. You've been here 8 years. It's time for you to go." And this was Sunday morning, and he was like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "No, you've been here too long. Everything I have, I've given you, I've poured into your life. I want you to pick any city in America, and I'm going to send you there to plant a church, and I'm going to pay your salary for 2 years." That's what he did with Nikki and I. He paid my salary for 2 years to start the very first Summit Church. And, you know, it's called stewardship. People that's been in this and know how to model it, know how to replicate it, you're not going to stay here very long. We're going to send you. And so this year, 2020, I feel a very timely season that the Lord is about to launch some Summit campuses, Summit locations in Edmonton and outside of Edmonton. I'm telling you, we're praying into Calgary. I know we don't like them in hockey, but we're praying into it, man. You know, and praying into other locations here in the city. So your giving is going to help us do that. How many of you, you may not be able to go, you may not be able to plant one of these, but how many of you believe God has blessed you financially? As you have an amazing job and you have resources that God's trusted you with, you have just as much of the inheritance portion in heaven with every dollar and dime you sow into this house that touches another life. Do you know that as you're a faithful giver and tither into this church, every time someone gets saved at this altar, it goes on your account in heaven as well. That you are a facilitator of the fruit that's produced here. Isn't that good? Because your finances help generate it. Amen? All right. Well, if you're watching online, you can feel free to give right there. There's a pin button that you can click on. Our giving machines in the foyer, debit machines. Twice today, I know it. My family's in from Florida, so I'm losing my Canadian touch. Giving machines are in the foyer, and text to give is available. If you're making a check this morning, you can make it payable to the Summit Edmonton Church. Giving statements are going to be emailed to you in the next couple weeks, 4 weeks, next 4 weeks. giving statements. If your email address is not updated or your home address, please fill out a welcome home card and drop that in there so that we can get your address updated. So that way we can get your giving statement that has your report, your giving history for the entire year. You'll want that for tax time. And so make sure that that's updated. Let's pray. If you have your offering, hold it in your hand. Father, we thank you, Lord, that all year this has been supernatural. Lord, it's been completely supernatural what has taken place here with every life that's been touched, filled with the Spirit, saved, delivered, set free. God, I thank you for the cancers that have been healed in this room this year, the tumors that have dissolved. God, we watched, Lord, lumps and necks dissolve in this building. Father, and we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we've watched marriages that were on the verge of divorce get restored right here in this room this year. Father, thank you for every miracle, every salvation, Lord. And God, thank you that as we partner with you in giving, as we worship you with our giving, that this is good ground. It's good seed and good ground, and it's producing fruit. Every church that's planted in the future out of this house, Lord, we pray that it has five times as much grace and anointing as this one. That when we send them out, Lord, that they grow and they multiply and the spirit of revival is present and there's presence there, God, and people get healed. We thank you in advance for doing it in Calgary. And we thank you, Lord, for doing it in Manitoba and Ontario. God, thank you that as we send churches out in British Columbia in the future and all over Alberta, God, that they're going to have the spirit of revival, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Lord, will be present in those places. God, I thank you that there's entire cities bound up with suicide that you're saying the summit's the answer. I'm going to send a summit. I'm going to send a son and a daughter from the summit to plant, to plow, and to break down and tear down strongholds. God, we thank you that you're going to do it in North Alberta, Southern Alberta, East, West, British Columbia, from coast to coast. God, we just call forth right now, Lord, those that are called to partner with this, Lord. We call them in. We say, come, 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 sit at the table. Come, be a part of family. Come, sit at the table with the Lord. And we just declare multiplication out of this house 100-fold. And God, over every family in this room, I declare the best fiscal year in 2020 that they've ever had. I say new doors, new job opportunities, promotion, growth, bonuses, checks in the mail. I thank you, Father, for supernatural connections, God, that will cause jobs, those that don't have a job. I say they're coming. Business owners in this room, I declare open heavens over your companies, over your businesses, and I say that the finances that you need are available, and I just declare over you the best year that you've ever had coming into 2020. Lord, do it in Jesus' name. Amen.